If you have a Bible with you, please, or as I say, there's pew Bibles. It would be really good if you could open your Bible. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 15. And tonight we're coming to look, I know you're doing a series and I'm following on in that series. And just for the next short while, 15, 20 minutes, just to look at this series. It says, Hebrews 11 and 20 says these words, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. And so we come to Genesis 17. I'm going to read some different passages because this is about the life tonight of Isaac. Not maybe a character in many ways that we think of so much of in the Bible in some senses, but what a choice that God made. Working his way through dysfunctional families. And there's an old saying, you know, it says you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. Now, I'm talking about the Bible tonight, not my relatives, by the way, or yours either. But it is true, you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. There's a slight problem for the church. God chooses for us whom he will save. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ, many of us together. So in a way, he has chosen you and chosen you to be here. But we'll start with Genesis 17, verses 15 to 21. And just reading here of God's sovereign choice. And throughout this whole stream of a few passages we read, We're going to be thinking tonight a little bit about the sovereign choice of God and how he overlays that, how he plans that. Ephesians 1 talks about how he has planned things from before the creation, how we're established, how God has chosen. And here is this promise and this promise to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, this is Genesis 17 and 15, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Can you imagine, just for one moment, what that must have been like? This old woman, an old man, and at the end of this long period of time and the promises that Abraham had already received and the child of promise that had never come, and he had went down the road with Hagar to have a child in that sense, and Ishmael was born, and yet the promised child never came. And at the end of all these years, when he was an old man, here comes God speaking to him. Put yourself in his shoes tonight, or in the shoes of Sarai. And think about this promise that God gives. It seems like the impossible. God, are you crazy? You're looking at old people here. Lord, we're ready for the nursing home. And you're coming to us telling us we're going to have a child. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man when he is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But, the buts of God, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Wow. Abraham is faced with God. God speaking to him of this promise. And I wonder what must have went through his mind as he went to sleep that night, or his wife, Sarah. These old people, and wondering to themselves, what is God on about? In Genesis 21, we read then, turn with me, please, just as we get through some of this story tonight. A tremendous story to see the flow of God. And you know, the flow of God through ordinary people. These were ordinary people. These weren't extraordinary people. They were ordinary people in many ways. And people who didn't even believe God in many ways, some of them. In Genesis 21 and verse 1, it says, the Lord visited Sarah. Notice it was the Lord. This was the child of promise. The child of promise. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Isaac means he laughs, or laughs mockingly. Of course, taken from that previous passage that we read. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child of promise came. And the Bible is full of that in certain ways, or there's a stream of that goes through parts of the Bible. The impossible with God, with man, of course, so possible with God. And we think, of course, of some of the people in the Bible, for instance, think of Hannah, who was barren, who couldn't have children. And, of course, she went to the temple and she prayed and, of course, gave birth to Samuel through the promises of God. Or think particularly of Elizabeth and Zechariah and the beginning of the New Testament. Old in years, no children, and yet the promise of one to come. The one who would be the forerunner of the Christ. The one who would come to level those paths in that sense. To proclaim the day of the Lord in that sense that he was coming. None other than John the Baptist. A miracle. John born to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. And what about Mary? The virgin birth. The child of promise, the child of promise, was come. Isaac, in one sense, this picture of the child of promise. But here was the child of promise, none other than the Son of God, born to a virgin, probably a teenage girl, born from the promises of God that he would send a Savior. And Jesus came forth. Do we believe tonight the promises of God, even when things seem impossible? You know, when God decrees it, it will happen. And when God decrees that he will cease or stop the nations from doing this or that, or we read earlier about Nineveh, that he would destroy it if it didn't repent, do we believe in that God tonight? I think the world in some instances has lost this God of miracles. I still remember that from an African saying that to me in Belfast one day. He says, Stanley, do you know what we say about the white man in Africa? We say he no longer believes in the God of miracles. Do we believe tonight in the God of miracles? The God who can do what he so desires to do. This is the sovereign God. Working out his sovereign choice and his sovereign purposes for his glory and his glory alone. Genesis 22, if we turn over for a moment to Genesis 22. And reading down here in verses 7 and 8, again a very particular passage of Scripture, an amazing passage of Scripture that we understand and have read many times. The story of God calling Abraham to sacrifice his son. And they climb up Mount Moriah. Of course, that's where you find Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem, the Mount, the Zion Mountain, where Christ was to be crucified himself. And in verse 7, and fair play to Isaac in the middle of this. He was probably a young man at this stage, maybe 12, 13, 14. His father was an extremely old man. And he could have probably run from him quite easily. But he went with his father. And Isaac in verse 7 says, "And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them together." And then we know the story of how the ram that was caught in the thicket. And of course, just about whenever Abraham was about to take a son, and if we read on down then in verses 13, further down the chapter, verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord, it will be provided.'" God provided the ram in place of Isaac. Isaac was rescued by this ram, or this lamb that was provided by God, caught in this thicket. And of course, this is a picture tonight for us here of God looking forward in that sense, a picture that was yet to come. If we turn to Isaiah 53, for instance, and we read these tremendous words of the picture of one that was to come. And the one who was to come was none other than Christ himself. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, words that we have often read, but tremendous words, 700 years before the time of Christ, the prophecy of Isaiah about the coming of the Son. Isaiah 53 and 3 says, "He was despised," that was Jesus, "was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." I wonder tonight, as you're in here tonight, and I don't know the hearts of everyone. Maybe somebody in here tonight and you're still a stranger to this grace. You're still a stranger, as in that sense you don't know Jesus. And yet you've maybe heard these stories for years, and you've maybe heard about the Christ, and yet you've never known him personally as your own. He died for your sin. He died so that you might be forgiven. He died to take you to heaven. How many years have you rejected this same Christ? How many years have you heard God's word and put it away from your heart? How many times have you walked out through those doors or other doors and left behind the message? I really beg of you tonight. Christ died for sinners. He died for you. He died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have the righteousness of Christ laid upon you, and so that you could know eternal life. Hell is an eternity. But very few seem to speak about any more apart from swear words. But hell is a reality. And hell is for those who will not trust in the lovely Son, in Jesus himself. And I beg of you, go away from that broad road and get down on your knees tonight before the living God, so that you too may come with us on the narrow path to heaven and to home. I want to read you for a moment. I was reading this at the midweek here one night, of what it means maybe to walk with Jesus. Sometimes in our lives, just maybe for a moment or two, just to think very briefly about this, but what's it like for others to walk with Christ? I have a testimony tonight of a man from the Yemen who walks with Christ each day in the midst of a land of famine, a land of war, and yet he walks with Jesus. For hundreds of years, my land believed in Judaism, and for hundreds of years after that, it was a land of the Christian faith. Then Islam came and stayed until now. However, in the last four decades, Christianity started to rise again, slowly but steadily, in the different parts of the country. And then he quotes Mark 16 and 15, and Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It is very tough for us here, as we cannot declare our faith openly like one would in the West. Special measures have to be taken, and special techniques have to be considered in preaching the gospel and communicating to avoid premature persecution, as this can happen from time to time. Yet we are strong. We hold them deep in our hearts. We teach our children and friends and relatives to continue and hold to the path and the road. We have tasted the salt. We know what love is. We are already fishing with Jesus, and we walk with him. And when it gets harder and so difficult, even in such darkness or in the middle of the night, I just find the nearest place to kneel and look up and cry and pray only for him and with him. God's people, who through the midst of war, persecution, and famine are coming to know Christ, facing death on many fronts, but finding life in the Savior. It's maybe a rebuke to the way that we live in the West, for we have it so easy. May God rebuke us if we do not use the time and the resources we have to reach people and tell others about Christ. Genesis 25, just coming to a close. In Genesis 25, we find in verse 21, I've called this patience, prayer, and prophecy. And this, of course, is the blessing that we read about earlier on in Hebrews. And the blessing that was not to fall to the firstborn, but to the secondborn. For God has his ways. And it says in Genesis 25 and 21, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife. She was barren for 20 years. So again, the miracle was about to happen. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted this prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." And of course, that became true as we read on in that sense, that the younger would become the one who would be given the birthright, and that the older would not receive the blessing. And then we read down here a very particular poignant moment in the life of this family, of Isaac, of Rebekah, of Esau, and of Jacob. And here we read in Genesis 25, let me just read these few verses, and think of these tonight. Genesis 25 and 31, Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, And he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. How many in our world today have sold their birthright? Or maybe not their birthright, but that which God has given them down through the years. The tradition of hearing the gospel message, maybe been the what we have in the West have been brought up in Sunday schools and the opportunity, and so many today, like Esau, have sold their birthright for a little bit of stew, for a little bit of this world today. Be very careful tonight of what we do with what God has given us. For what we have is most precious. How far has our nation and the nations around us fallen? How far have they gone from the ways of God? And the fear of the living God seems to have been dispelled, and now it's almost a mockery of that same God. But God himself will not be mocked. And God will bring about upon the nations in his time what he desires. And whatever that is, to draw people back to himself. And finally, in Genesis 27, we come to almost a conclusion in that sense of the story tonight. In verse 38, it says, and this was the blessing unto Jacob. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And then it says there in verse 38, Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. The blessing was gone. The time of the blessing was gone. It was too late for him. And we find in Hebrews 12 and 17, this verse of scripture, it says, for you know that afterward, when he, that was Esau, desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he had found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Don't leave it too late, folks. Don't leave tonight been right with Christ too late. Don't leave the blessing that God has given you and cast it away. And younger people here tonight, be careful of the ways of the world that will try to lead you away from the ways of Christ and that which you've been brought up with. Do not allow them to do that. But stay close to Jesus. Like our brother in the Yemen, learn how to walk with him day and night. And finally, one verse of scripture in closing. In John 15 and 16, what would Jesus say to us tonight? I find this tremendous. For we've been talking tonight about the choice of God, the sovereign choice. And in your life tonight, that choice that God has made, he has chosen you before the foundations of the earth. And in John 15 and 16, it says these words, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. That's what he's done. He has chosen you, brothers and sisters. He has chosen you, but he's chosen you for a purpose, to go and bear fruit. What fruit is God wanting you to bear? What is it that he has called you to do? I don't know what that is. All I can do is encourage you to continue in what God has called you to do. Or maybe to be challenged afresh and say to God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let me not waste the life you've given me. Let me use all the days that I have so that I will bear fruit for you, so that your kingdom can be extended, and so that your name can be glorified throughout all the earth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight, and we thank you for the life of this family. Oh God, what a family. Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, and Jacob. deceit, lies, twisting their way around in life, favoritism of one son over another. And yet through it all, the promise of God was coming true. For you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the genealogy of the Christ, the picture of the one to come, the Son of promise who came to deliver us, chosen by him. Tonight we are in Christ. For those of us who know him, help us to bear the fruit. Help us to live the life. Help us to follow Jesus wherever he takes us. In his name we pray. Amen.